Diamond Heart 7, January 18th, morning session.
Happy winter morning to you. It's such a pleasure to see all your faces this morning. And I'm very aware that this is one of our last times in this room, in this building, and so I particularly like having a memory of your faces in our building, and then we'll move to something new. It seems life is always, always, always moving and changing, and we go with it. So before we start this morning, I want to make an announcement about our retreat coming up at the end of February. It'll be your second retreat. And just a reminder kind of announcement, there will be a small group as part of that retreat. It will be on the weekend. I'm not sure which day yet. And it's just a reminder to keep that, you know, keep your schedule free, and I will let you know as soon as I possibly can which evening it will be. And there is the additional charge for that that you pay your teacher. So it's just a heads up reminder. So this morning, we'll start with our salute to the essential nature that we are studying and attempting to discover in our own experience, to know deeply for ourselves. And I'd like us to do a short amount of chanting of the Hu chant. And you know that joy, if you think about or even feel about joy, there's usually sound. There's often sound that goes with joy. You know, a yes or a hooray or something that is the upwelling of that aliveness that goes with joy. Sorry, did I go too loud? The nuns used to have a great time with me because they always knew where I was because I was louder than everybody else. So I'd like to invite this morning, after we do our salute, is we'll chant the Hu, and I'd like you to chant it from the point of view of delightfully, joyfully calling your own true nature to your experience, inviting your heart to open and receive that joyful aliveness that we'll talk a little bit more about this morning. Okay? See what it sounds like. You know, you don't know till you do it what it might sound like. Could be weird. But that's okay. Let's just find out. Oh. Star bright, first star I've seen tonight. I wish I may, I wish I might, have the wish I wish tonight. Remember that? Let's do it together. Starlight, star bright, first star I've seen tonight. I wish I may, I wish I might, have the wish I wish tonight. See how it makes you feel? The deepest wish in each human heart is the wish to be yourself. The wish to be the true self, the true nature that you are, without trying, without thought. That nature that bubbles up. Anybody ever go camping or hiking in here? Yeah? Do you ever come across one of those bubbling brooks or streams that kind of comes out of a hillside or meanders and it bubbles up all by itself and it's fresh and you don't worry about drinking it because it's moving and bubbling? So breathe into that if you remember that. And that feeling of being so connected with the star millions and billions of miles away, but as a little child being totally connected with that, and the heart making a wish. Just so natural. And when that's the case, then joy is able to flow into our consciousness and continues to open us up. More open, more open, more open, more joyful, more alive. And we don't really have to do anything for that except allow it. So the rub is that with our experience in growing up, we find that we react to what's happening to us, and we do find ways to close it down. And Roseanne so beautifully yesterday talked with you about what happens to you now. What happened to you much earlier that made you not really trust that happiness, that joyfulness, that bubbly upwelling that's just there? So we looked at the constraints or the obstacles that have become part of your operational procedures. And why do we do that? It's probably quite clear to you by now, because we're heading into our third year of the work, that we inquire into the constraints because that's a way of bringing awareness and consciousness to what's in the way of our natural gifts, our natural tendencies in our soul. If nobody tinkers with us, and if our own soul can choose to stay open, that's just natural. But lived life has a huge impact on our sensitive souls. And people we love are really big, powerful influences. If we don't judge them as good or bad, we can begin to feel how much people around us impact us even today, but certainly when we were little, and saying our wish. So inquiry has a direct connection to this joy that we're talking about, this quality of being. And it has a direct connection through curiosity, which is what we started when, remember, when I think it's two times ago that when Byron talked about curiosity. So through curiosity, the soul starts to open up. If it's a genuine curiosity. So inquiry is our way of entering the heart realm. And Hamid mentioned yesterday something very important, and that is when we talk about the heart, we don't mean just in the chest or in the physical organ called the heart. It's the whole body that can be experienced, but we're talking about qualities of the heart in the sense of the soul being a feelingful, organic consciousness. It's not just mental or ideational. It's heartful, which means it has capacities for sensation and also for emotion. So inquiry, with its if curiosity is there, really touches the heart and opens the heart. And so, as some of you discovered yesterday, it's a really very rich realm, this realm of the heart. Not easy to get to sometimes or to stay with, but it's a very rich realm. And it has something that only comes through experience. And that's immediacy. When you feel the heart, it's not by thinking about your heart. It's about really being in touch with whatever's arising in the heart, which can be pain. It can be grief. It can be sadness. But it's feelingful. It's alive. It lets you know something's happening here. But it's also able to be exquisitely joyful, light, light-hearted. We use that term, light-hearted. So wouldn't it be amazing if you were able to experience pain or suffering of some kind and light-heartedness? Is that possible? That could be. So inquiry is our doorway, our continuing practice, which allows the curiosity of the heart to have an avenue of expression. And when that inquiry comes naturally, it opens the heart in a way, it opens the whole soul in a way that is beyond anything that you can imagine. And somehow it brings a smile. So look at what we lose when we lose contact with our joy. Let's just take a minute and inquire into that. You did it yesterday. I'm sure you were with it again last night. The feeling of what's in the way when the heart closes down because basically something was too painful. And that might have been the suffering of others. You might have been having a great time at 4 years old or 6 years old, learning what you were learning, curious about everything. But you are still influenced and impacted by the pain around you, possibly. So what we see is that in the personality, our relationship with joy and our hearts gets limited, gets constrained. So we'll allow it to some degree in some situations, but we're not generally open fully. And our wanting takes on a kind of complication. For example, if you want a new car, well, then you won't have the money for the vacation in Hawaii. Or if you want the vacation with your kids on a beach someplace so that everybody can be outdoors, then you can't do something else. So as we begin to want, we see that there are limitations. That's just real. It comes with human beingness. Our divine nature is infinite and non-conflictual. But human situation, there are limits. And our wanting then often becomes conflictual. We want two things at the same time. That can't happen. So feel yourself as I say that. I want you to, it's not so important what I say as how you allow yourself to connect with that. And see if you can let yourself taste it for a moment. So one of the things we usually learn to do in order to manage this conflictualness, etc., is we learn to control. Yeah? Anybody recognize that one? It's like, okay, so I'll want this and maybe that, but I won't want something else. Some people feel okay about wanting a car or new clothes, but they don't feel okay about being wealthy, about really having wealth. Or some people feel like that it's not good to have power. They want to have influence in their situation, maybe be the boss on the job. But on the other hand, power, a little scared of power. So we learn to control what we want. And we particularly learn to control with people we love. Because we're smart in the heart, and we can see when we want something from the person and they don't want to give it, it hurts. So then we start saying, well, okay, I won't ask that of them. But I'll ask this over here, which I sort of want, but if I get it, it's okay. But this is what I really want. So basically, we get a belief very early that the two ideas go together. I want it, but I can't have it. It's almost like one idea. I want it, and I can't have it. I want it, but I won't get it. So some part of us often then stops wanting, or stops wanting fully, want it somewhat. And all of this is what I mean when I talk about shutting down, closing down on the joy, on the heart. Now another thing in the personality that constrains our joy is that often our wants get mixed up with our needs. And there really are things that we need. I mean, we need food, we need sleep, we need contact and affection, and we need feedback, and we need praise, and we need things that grow us physically, but also we need things that grow us emotionally and soulfully. So sometimes it's okay to want those things, but we constrain wanting when it goes beyond needs. We say, well, okay, I don't really need that. So it gets, in the personality, it gets all tied up with the differences between wants and needs and mental discriminations and whatever. Whereas the heart, the joy, is full out no matter what. Doesn't matter what you want. It wants it fully. No considerations, no conditions there. It's unconditional. Joy allows the heart to want fully, whether it be connected with needs or luxuries or whatever. So what we learn as we're growing up about what we can want and what we can't want creates a sort of a patterning or a template that then becomes part of how we operate in the me that we take ourselves to be. We really begin to really think that that is me and that's what's real about me. And we literally forget what that bubbling spring feels like, how fresh it is, and how constant it is. No matter how we dim it and dampen it as we grow into our personalities, it doesn't go away. As many of you found yesterday, the inquiry allows us to go back toward it and reconnect with something in ourselves as we understand that barrier and what we're up to in the moment. So wanting is a natural activity of the heart. Wanting itself is a natural activity of the heart. If your heart is open, you are going to want. And the patterning, you know, dims it and deadens it. And then there also are parts of us that get developed over time that have different, values, you might say, or choices. For example, there are parts of us that would rather be right than joyful. Right? Parts of us that would give up our joy in order to be on top or the best. Parts of us that would rather what would you say? It's like maybe keep the peace or not stir the waters. Parts of us that would rather have the status quo, the familiar devil that we know how to deal with, rather than the open, fresh, unknown movement of the curiosity and the joy in the heart. So actually, parts of us mitigate and shut down and deaden that aliveness that is full of joy. I mean, it seems insane, but that's what happens to us as we grow these personalities, ego selves. But when that left side subtlety is opened up, the joy that flows, the openness there, is absolutely, purely life movement in utter joy. It's not about anything in particular. It's not because of anything. You can't say, okay, I know when I push this or if I talk about that or if I go here, then I will experience the opening of that subtle energy center. And joy will be there fully, and my heart will open and be so open that it feels fully alive in every moment. So as that left side opens, it will make us aware of what's constraining the joy. We will get to see, and that's another reason why inquiry works so well for us. It shows us, why aren't I feeling joyful? If that's really my natural gift, where is it? How did I lose it? And inquiry is our method that brings us back there. And when there are no more constraints, when we can fully allow, then that left side is open, and through that center comes pure joy. So one of the things that we get more and more aware of is that the enjoyment that comes from wanting is a very important manifestation of the soul. So wanting is a natural operation or activity of the heart, but it's also a manifestation of the soul. The aliveness of your soul, we've talked many times about how this consciousness in you is not an intellectual consciousness. It's a consciousness that's alive and it's organic and it's moving, right? That's what you are. And the experience you're having is that. So that aliveness gets very diminished if only the instinctual wanting is allowed. If you want only what instinctually you know to want. You want a roof over your head, you want transportation, you want maybe a partner in your life, you want somebody who loves you because they think you're wonderful. Those wantings in the instinctual actually diminish the aliveness. Now, it's not to say there's anything wrong with them or that you should get rid of them. You can't get rid of them. But what I'm trying to point to is that level of wanting is actually a diminishment of the natural joyful wanting that's possible for you. And human beings create tremendous suffering. I think Hamid mentioned this yesterday. We create tremendous suffering for ourselves by wanting what we can't have. Like maybe I want to be the first lady. Right? Well, that's not going to happen. At least not for 4 years. Who knows? That's part of joy, you know. You don't know. You really don't know. I mean, I'd be as shocked, more shocked than you. And But the wanting is fine, you know, and you can look into it. Well, what do you mean, Regina, you want to be the first lady? What is that for you? It can deepen into your truer and truer desires to be alive with the capacities that you have. It might reveal that I think I have a capacity for leadership and say something about wanting to be out there in front so people can take pot shots at you and tell you what's wrong with you. God Almighty, I bless these people with this courage. So wait a minute, I have to get back here. This is why I use notes, because I fly very easily. People will often say, well, okay, I started out wanting, and now I wind up with longing. Well, what's the difference? Many people spend their lives longing for things. It becomes part of their personality. Well, longing is wanting, but it's wanting over a long period of time with a habit of not getting. But you won't let go of the wanting. So we can actually twist our own natural wanting up by saying, okay, I want this partner that's so beautiful and wonderful and totally sees me and totally gets me and totally says yes to me every time, never says no. That's what I want, and that's what I'm longing for. Of course, you know, am I going to get that? Oh, that might be on Venus, but that doesn't happen in Earth. That'd be a perfect somebody that, you know, we might get semblances of. But longing and wanting things which are not real can create a tremendous amount of suffering. And it can connect up with a little mechanism that we find in the personality that's so strong, and that's the mechanism of denial. We don't want to see that it's impossible. We don't want to face that the only person who really gets us like that is our mother, if she's attuned. And God knows by now you've probably done enough inquiry to see she wasn't always attuned. And our father wasn't either. Oh my. So, no joy. It's over. But facing it and just getting it, yeah, okay, that's the truth of it. Somehow, the truth of it coming through the inquiry again opens the heart. And the joy can be there. And then we don't have to do longing. We can want something that bubbles up. A fresh wanting, a wanting right now. So before I leave the personality part, I want to just mention that our superego gets very active here, right? Shame and fear are two things that the superego uses, like, right, just, yeah, you go for what you want and watch how fast you get disappointed. Right. You know, that cynical, shaming voice that we have inside is very good at keeping us in the shutdown place where wanting is very carefully controlled so that we don't get too disappointed. However, you know, experiencing essence is a little like being pregnant. When you're pregnant, you're pregnant. You're not a little bit pregnant. Your body's totally on a trajectory which you are totally out of control of now. Biologically, it's in process. And essence is a lot like that, meaning it is what it is fully and completely. So when joy touches your heart, it has a sense of opening you fully to your aliveness, fully to your curiosity. And wanting is a key here. If you won't let yourself want, you stop yourself from a certain aliveness and you stop the possibility of joy. So with joy coming through your wanting, the soul gets engaged. It's not a sedentary deal. You might sit on your cushion or you might sit in your chair and do your inquiry. But when joy touches the heart and the heart opens up, the soul itself, through the whole body, starts to get engaged. It gets alive, and it wants to go for what it wants, or in some way it gets engaged with its life more fully. And I can't say exactly how, because it depends totally on what it is you're allowing yourself to want. But just think about it. Each one of us is a means of essential nature, having eyes and ears and a body so it can experience sensation and emotion and thinking. It can look through eyes and hear through ears. And each heart is a site on which the essential nature can experience something and can create something. So your heart's desire is a unique opening for the essential nature to manifest and speak through. So the engagement is your life. It's how you respond to what your heart wants in your life. And in your responding, in your feeling your joyful wanting, you create your life. Or you dim down your life. You make it reasonable or conventional or acceptable or appropriate. I love that word, appropriate. Nobody's going to give you any criticism because you're appropriate. It's so unjoyful. And it's like, oh, please. Oh. Can you imagine an essential appropriateness? Now, that isn't to say, I'm not saying to you, okay, out the door you go now and you just go for what you want, whatever it is. I'm not saying that. It's very possible for the heart to be open and life to be there fully without acting out, without making your engagement and your action really express your true joy. And that's different from acting out, because if the heart is really open, the wanting is going to be full of love. It's not going to be dangerous or taking away from something else. Though it may be tough, because love can be tough. But it'll have love in the sense of wanting to be near. You know how when you love something, you just want to be near it? It's even like starlight, star bright. Feeling the nearness of the star and the cosmos and the bigness of life. And at that moment, you're still full of wonder. You're not cognitively in the mind saying, well, it's not possible, come on. No, you're allowing yourself to be full of wonder and you want to be near what it is you love. So it's not about acting out, it's more like feeling a nowness, feeling in the present moment a life that's full of appreciation. It's full of liking. It comes with joy. And what you want doesn't matter. That's why it's not about acting out. What you want doesn't matter. You can want the most ridiculous things, or sinful things, or awful things. You can want whatever you want. This is a hard one to get. It doesn't matter what you want. It matters that you let yourself want it as fully as possible. And you let the appreciation of whatever that is be there. Maybe you want a snake, you know? Many people think snakes feel funny, but they really don't. If you ever touch a snake, they're silky. They're beautiful in their way. But most people go, ooh. So we see that fear plays a big part in allowing. But whatever you want, to let yourself feel the liking, feel the appreciation for it. then a certain enjoyment comes up of the wanting itself. There's a pleasure in the wanting. And you don't have to get it. It's not about getting. On the personality level, it's about getting. If you want it, you want to get it. But when we deal with the heart and the soul and the opening up, it's the actual experience of wanting that has a pleasure in it if you can stay with it. There is an enjoyment with it. And that's the key. This wanting fully is the key to opening that left side subtlety. Remember the red on the right, the yellow on the left. And that opens that center. And then that subtlety that comes through there, this unconstrained joy, is one of the five impulses. Remember the five impulses when we started teaching the Latayav? The first one was, I wish. First one is, I wish. That's the yellow. And then the second one is, I can. That's the red. The third one is, I will. That's the white. The fourth one is, I perceive. I know something of it. And the fifth one is, I am. That's the green that you've already studied in the center of the chest.
What color is I perceive?
Black. Sorry, I didn't say that, did I? Good question. Yeah, that's the black. I wish, the yellow. It starts with a wish. It starts with an open heart. Everything starts with that. I wish. I want. So let's contrast that for a moment with normal wanting. For example, let's say you worked yesterday or you've been looking at things and you realize, I really need a good cry. I just need a good cry. This is really... But then you say, well, I don't have time. I don't have time for a good cry right now. I'll make the supper and then I'll go have a good cry. Right? Or you say, well, I'm on the bus and I don't want anybody to see my tears. I'll wait till I'm alone, then I'll cry. So one of our propensities in normal wanting is to put it off till the right time. Yeah? And if you have children, it's very easy to do because their demands are so immediate and they're so real. They're dependent on you. So really coming to appreciate and like your own wanting and find ways to give it its time is an important thing. Or another example, let's say there's a yummy food, something you really love. And you say to yourself, well, I really love it, so I'll let myself have a little of it. So you give yourself permission for a little bit. And then we find that we're controlling or we're doling out to ourselves little bits of things that give us pleasure. Well, I can't have sex every night, so maybe once a week we'll make a date and make it happen. So we tend to, you know, mitigate what we really want into something that looks feasible and dole it out to ourselves in little bits so we don't get a full open-hearted experience of it. We restrain ourselves. And many times, we really are afraid of our impulses. And many people have good reason to be afraid of their impulses. And they go into Nordstrom and they spend $500 and they come out and they realize they don't have $500. Then they have to take it all back or figure out a way to pay off the credit card. So impulses are real. And impulse management is a real thing in developing an ego structure. Maturation requires that we deal with our impulses. Yeah? So I'm not talking about, you know, becoming Mary Poppins here or somebody that lives in La La Land. There are real human forces that we deal with, and we also have the potential, when that left side opens up, the potential for pure joy. So I'm kind of wanting to set one against the other so you can begin to feel into our situation here as human beings. Maybe you give yourself a little something that, let's say it's cheesecake or it's pudding or it's chocolate or something that's got calories in it that somebody was mentioning yesterday. And so you'll give it to yourself, but then you beat yourself up because you have judgments about weight. So the superego enactment comes in here in our personality too. Let's say, for example, you look at the spouse of a friend and you get turned on. You really think this person is hot stuff. And you want them. You want them sexually. You want them near you. You want to know them. You want them. Often, there's a very short period within which you'll let yourself know that. But then you make that go away because it can't happen, or you don't want to make a mess, or it's your best girlfriend, or something. So you quell the wanting. Now again, I want to say out loud, I'm not saying this is permission to go act out. But these are situations in which we will often stop the wanting so we don't get in trouble down line by seducing our friend's husband or wife. These are all motivations that we can be, can arise along with our wanting. Another thing is you want to adopt a baby or a child, bigger baby. And you stop that wanting because you don't know how to go about it. You don't know how to make it happen. Maybe your spouse or partner doesn't want to have another or have one child. And so you shut that down. What this holding back, where you have a little bit of your desire, a little bit of your wanting, what it does basically is it dims down. It dims down the light of your joy. Because joy has that quality in it of bringing light. It lightens you up, it makes your heart light, and it actually illuminates. Because what we want in our heart is not logical usually with our minds. And part of how we learn to survive is often we shut down the heart and the wanting, and we go to our minds and we get rational. And we think about our feelings. We actually don't have them. We think about them. And there is such a thing as joy in the mind. There's tremendous mental joy or mind joy when discovering something new of the mind. A new idea, a new plan, a new star. Something of the mind where there's understanding mentally. But in the personality, often the mind is the default aliveness where you live so you don't have to feel what's in the heart. Because hearts make messes. They absolutely do. So there's not going to be a life without messes if you're living from your heart. How's that hit you? Yeah, because people sometimes think, oh, I'm in a spiritual path. Now things are going to clarify. I'll live according to deep wisdom, and I won't make any messes with anybody, you know? I'll be kind all the time. I'll be wise, you know? And that's lovely. I mean, it's certainly why you would want that. However, we have to look at this in a very heartful way that's realistic. I remember Hamid and I talking about, you know that movie, probably not going to remember the name. Oh yeah, it was Bridges or the one with Meryl Streep. That's it, thank you. And the Bridges of Madison County. It was a little book, but they made a movie out of it. Was it Clint Eastwood? Yeah, thank you. And in there, she's the mother and the wife. Her husband and she are about as dead as you can possibly get. And he takes the kids and goes off to town someday. She's home alone on the ranch. Up comes Clint Eastwood, da-da-da-da. And we got a spark. And they have the whole day together, actually. And, of course, they have the bathtub scene. Right? Remember that? And you can see she comes alive. He's wary, but he's there. He's alive in his way, too. And in the end, she says goodbye, and he goes off, and can't happen because she's got this family. And a number of us were talking about, okay, so what's the more holy thing to have happened here? And Hamid said, what about her following her heart? What if she had said, okay, my heart just woke up and I want to go with him? And he said, my heart woke up and I want to be with her. And we said, yeah, but what if he said, well, my heart's only a little bit awake and I don't know if I want to be with her? So you see, it gets messy. And she did her dutiful thing. But her heart had to pay, there was a cost for that. And there's no right answer. So the mind gets very frustrated here and usually says, oh, let's just not bother. Let's just forget that. Go here. So it's a real conundrum for human beings. And it also, it's that edge between wanting and getting and really letting yourself want and say to yourself, okay, I may not get this, but I want it anyway. I want to be the first lady, and I don't care what it is that is in the way. I'm going to want that. So there then comes a freedom in your wanting. You're free to want whatever you want. Now, why is that important? Because that allows your heart to really know yourself. If you don't let yourself want, you can't know what you are. Not just who you are, but you can't know what you are as a wanter, as a heart that's full of aliveness and free to want anything. So remember yesterday, Hamid talked about joy and possibilities, that joy opens possibilities. Well, here's how it goes. The wanting is the key that opens up the heart and the possibilities, which may have to do with your capacities. Not capacities that may already be developed, but capacities that want to be developed. Like clearly Mozart came in, he knew something about music by 4 years old. But he had to develop some other things. Same kind of thing with you. There may be things you already are pretty developed in, but there may be things that your heart will want because it's going to develop some other things that you never even thought of yet. But they're real in you, and they want something to happen in this life. So there's a freedom that comes about when you can let yourself want anything, and it reveals the heart to itself. So most time we think, well, if the heart opens, I'm going to get involved with people, or I'm going to get involved in something out there. But what we're talking about is the curiosity and the inquiry turning toward yourself. That's what we do, don't we? We don't look out there. We look, what's going on here? So that you can let your heart reveal itself to itself. It's a mystery otherwise. And when you don't know what you want, there's no way for the inquiry to be a method that helps to open that up. So there is a tremendous freedom possible here. Just by wishing, I wish I may, I wish I might, have the wish I wish tonight. So your deep down desires will reveal to you the wisdom in your heart. To love what you love, to really love what you love, with no explanation, no holds barred, no reason, nothing in the way, no holding back, no little bits, full out going and allowing that heart to be open and allow yourself to say out loud and express what you really love brings about a certain wisdom in your heart. And it teaches you to trust that there's something so much bigger than what you have thought you are in your normal wanting or your normal meanness. So much more wise and joyful and big. And this this joyful aspect brings that wisdom to you. And your life actually can be joyful. It brings it to your life. So on the other hand, it reveals that there's no safety. You know how we're all kind of like, and especially in interactions with each other, we say, I don't feel safe. Well, guess what? You're not going to feel safe. If you really want your heart open and free and full of your wisdom, I don't know how to do that with safety. I wish I could tell you that, but as far what I've discovered is, if you constrain your heart, if you constrain your curiosity by any which way, by trying too hard or by doing it this way because this teacher says this is the way to do it, if you constrain it any which way, it dims down your joy. And your life in general then is going to be lessened, dimmed, diminished, and it all the way to deadened. The soul can actually deaden itself. It's one of its morphing capacities. So, yes, there's going to be pain. I'm not saying that this is going to take away pain. No. There will be pain. There will be disillusionment, there will be disappointment, there will be all kinds of suffering quite possibly. Because for years in our inquiry, when we go in, what do we find? What happened to you when you were 5 or 6 or 10? The misery, my mother's depression, my father's incompetence, whatever. We go in, sometimes we get bored with it. I mean, we've done it. And it's still coming up, and it's still coming up, and it's still painful. And we still go back, and we still look, and we still let our curiosity take us to that inner place. But the difference is, now we have awareness. We bring presence to it. And sometimes joy arises in the very same moment with the most exquisite pain. And I know that from my own work, and I know that from working with students. It's totally mysterious. But you can be sobbing. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh my God, I can feel something light, and it's moving, and it's here, and I think it feels happy. I mean, it's amazing. But there's no rule, from what I can get, on the essential level that says, if you're in pain, therefore no joy. No. If you will allow the pain, the joy can be there. If you'll allow the wanting, even if the wanting is, no pain, please, that's okay. And the joy can be there. It's not logical here. But your personality is going to be much more comfortable in the more constrained joyfulness. So just to know that there's going to be discomfort quite likely for a while in this part of our work. But if you can allow that wanting, you're really allowing the dynamism of life. Remember when we started to work on the soul? We talked about it being dynamic. It's a dynamism. It's alive all the time, moving and changing. It's like a symphony that never stops. It's always alive and moving. So you're actually allowing your life to be dynamic when you can allow for the joy and the wanting. And it becomes a dynamic curiosity, an alive curiosity. And why it's important is because it's the movement. It's like floating your boat toward maturation. It's the force that moves you ever so gently toward becoming a mature, full human being. So inquiring into your wanting is our way in the Diamond Approach of coming closer to what we love and to the aliveness that you are. It's our way then of expressing your want and letting the revelation of your heart to itself happen. So it takes boldness to go here, to let your heart want fully. Takes a boldness. And sometimes people get afraid that if they can be themselves, if they would really feel their joy, they won't be able to function in the world. They won't be able to do what they have to do. So I want to remind you that joy is an aspect of being. And one of the qualities of being, besides joy and strength and will, is intelligence. So as your joy opens up, you will also have access to intelligence. And you will find very joyful, practical ways to live your life. It's not impossible. Your heart will thrill with aliveness, but you will take your responsibilities. They just aren't heavy because the joy is lightening up the heart and it's total. The joy has a total lightheartedness. It's a fullness. And you will find yourself singing with the things that you're considering your responsibility when there's joy there. Your heart will be light no matter what. So, let us do an exercise here to bring about this inquiry, and let's see what pops up. We're going to do 3 repeating questions for 10 minutes each. In dyads, 2x2. The first question is, tell me something that limits your wanting. Tell me something that limits your wanting. Each of you do that one, and then we go to the second one. Tell me a way you experience, you are wanting. And it, when you're the one asking the question, if you can let yourself really say the question each time new, like you never heard this question before, and say it with that kind of freshness, curiosity, you really want to know. Tell me a way that you experience your wanting. That affects the soul of the person who's doing the answering. So the one answering now, let it be a little bit about the past and what you wanted in the past, but also let yourself see what you want in the moment. Let's see what would come up if you, let it be silent for a little bit if you want to, and see what might pop up in the moment and surprise you maybe, especially from your inner heart. Because as you, I'm sure you know, the heart has chambers, right? And spiritually the heart has chambers. So we don't start with the inner heart. We have to start out in the outer chambers. And depending on our wanting to know ourselves fully, we move. But we don't make the movement. We are moved into the inner chambers. So let yourself have a little time with the present time with this. And then the third question, which is going to be a looping question, is tell me something you really want. And that one will be 15 minutes. The other two are 10 minutes, and this one is 15. Tell me something you really want. So there, I'd like you to really pay attention to the experience in your body. When that question comes toward you, and it's not going to go away, feel what happens in your body. And then just take your time and see if you can actually express it. Because you may get a sense of what you really want and you don't have any words. Let's take your time with this so that you're able to discover something. Okay, are there any questions? Or good, I will see you back. Let's see, 20, 40, 15. Let's say about 5 after 1, so you have a little break. Thank you. Let's see what you discovered. Yes, right. Where's our mic runner? Do we have a mic runner? Yep, okay. No hurry. Thanks.
Michael. I just realized when I was doing the thing, I really wanted to be president. I mean, it just when you mentioned the first lady, it struck me, you know, it just came in that you know, I've always had that fantasy of being president, but I just really wanted it. I
mean, there's my partner.
And I was right there giving the inaugural speech. I was going back to that room, you know, with the president's office, you know, right. And I wanted to be upstairs and have and live in the big house and just, this is my house, you know. And I had visions of the license, you know, your new license. And, uh-huh. You know, I have a commercial driver's license. So I have to get that. And I was just the whole thing. I was just going right down that path. Uh-huh.
And you notice just, how alive you are.
Exactly.
You're gesturing.
Well, I've always been ashamed of the fact that I wanted to be president. I've never. I don't discuss it very often.
I know.
It's just because, you know, what are you, nuts? I mean, you're a computer program in a cubicle. And, you know, nobody even reports to you, and you want to be president. It's not going to happen. You know?
Yes.
I've just always had that fantasy.
Yes.
I mean, actually, when I was younger, when I was in high school, I actually was on the State Board of Education. In Massachusetts, they have one student who's on the State Board of Education.
Yes.
And it's kind of a big deal. And, well, anyway, when I told my father, he got pissed off.
Oh,
he got
no.
really pissed off.
Oh.
And they had a picture on the cover of my school newspaper of the White House and said, Michael's on his way to the White House. And, you know, it just was, I mean, I just was, that's what I thought I was on the way to. And
yes.
I just was like, I just, it's come back to me.
Yeah.
That's was, and I was just, I kind of shut it off at that point.
Yes.
Because he was just really pissed off.
Yes.
He said he was going to call the governor, get the governor to not swear me in. I mean, I went to the governor. He went to the governor's mansion, whatever, the state house, and they swore you in.
Wow.
And so it was kind of a big deal, and he was pissed off. So it's just that whole, I've been ignoring, just avoiding that whole thing.
Yes.
So it just, it did help. It just really helped to just let it out.
Yes. You
know? That's amazing.
Yes.
That's
the light in your eyes and the animation in your body.
You
should take a look around. Look at this man. Yeah.
But it just, I mean, I've just,
joy.
I considered it kind of sick or something, you know.
Yeah.
When you actually just talk about it, it's not so bad. It's just like, oh, well, yeah, what's wrong with that? You know,
exactly.
Yeah. That's the big deal.
Get the judge out of the picture and the father. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's that's what was hard to face, is that I went home on it. It was just, I got, the, you had 52 people running for this office, and they elected me. And I went home and said, I won. There's 52 people, and I won. You know, I kind of went there in the morning as kind of a joke. Well, I'm going to run, there's 52 people, you know, we'll see what happens. And, you know, they won, and he just saw it just in his face. And he came in, you know, well, how are you going to do this, you know, and it would, you know, and he just was really angry.
Oh, dear.
So it was just, it was hard to face.
That shut everything down for
a long
time.
Well, it also was very
today.
Clear to me. I was 18, so I had some perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just very clear that you're just pissed off, that I'm going to be better than you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just and that ties in with power, you know.
Yes,
really,
it does.
I'm not supposed to be powerful.
Right.
You know, I see it work, too. It's hard for me to get power.
Right.
You know, so it's just been really helpful. I just really appreciate it.
Good. Thanks. So right here. Mm-hmm. Please.
Not sure about the front row. Paul. And this was really useful, a really useful teaching for me. And I really liked the idea of realizing I could want whatever I'm wanting without having to act it out.
Yes.
And one of the things that I notice, one of the ways I restrict myself from wanting is I'm trying to be serious about the work. And I have, so one of the things I'm wanting the most right now is to be fulfilled in a relationship and to, you know, have a lot of longing. And I cut that off because I tell myself that's attachment, that's not love.
Oh, know? Yes. Not spiritual.
Exactly.
Attached. Yeah.
And you mentioned going, you know, allowing your heart wanting just to be expressed. And I don't know how to be with that because I do, when I really get into the wanting, like it does usually lead back to, I am actually wanting my mother and this is old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I you know, I tell myself, this, what you're, you know, if I'm projecting it onto my ex-girlfriend, for example, like that's, I try to regulate and say, well, that's fantasy and that's not, you know, that's just attachment you're feeling and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I want a little bit of guidance about how to.
Well, what if, rather than trying to regulate yourself, let's say you're back with your ex-girlfriend, you're doing that number. What if you were to say, okay, what's real here is I want my mother. I want a girl who's just like my mother, and I want that now. And you let yourself want that. Then you say, okay, so I'm going out for a walk, and I'm going to find her. I'm going to look around. So maybe you're on your way to work or something, but you're looking around. You're really looking to let this want be something you really want, and then, you know, honor it by saying, okay, I'm going to look at her. I don't think so. Her, well, I don't know. You know, and let yourself just play with it and then see what happens. See where that, what arises next. So you're aware that this is about mother. You're not trying to fool yourself. But on the other hand, you're letting the wanting have some influence and some reality for you. And then actually look around and see, and who knows what will happen. Something shifts in the heart when you take it out and express it, you know, which is a little different from acting out. But it's taking it to a level of expression where you actually look for somebody. What happens inside when I suggest that?
I felt a little freaked out when you said looking for someone like your mother. I don't think about doing that. That's not what I want.
That's not what you want. Ah.
I think about trying to meet the unmet needs that my mother didn't meet, but it doesn't right. occur to me as trying to look for someone like her. It could be, I'll think about that.
Yeah, so it clarifies it. When you say it, it starts to get clear. Well, wait a minute now, maybe I really don't. So, yeah.
I guess it just feels like indulgence in a way, like that... Because a lot of times I may have some idea that it's really about my mother, but what it really feels like is about this person in my life now. And so I have an idea that that's fantasy, but if I follow my heart, like, I don't know, I'm afraid of just acting out and,
Yeah, so you need to inquire into that fear. You're afraid of acting out. Okay, so that's what comes up. Then, again, the curiosity and the openness to go in and take a look. Okay, so where is that fear in my body? And, you know, and see what that fear is really all about. And then the next thing will come up. And you look into that. That's, yeah?
Thank you.
Welcome. The woman behind.
Hi, I'm Annette. I don't actually have a question. This is my first time up.
Oh.
What I marvel at is in doing that inquiry,
mm-hmm.
the complete range of emotions I went through, from really experiencing grief to experiencing joy mm-hmm. and lightheartedness and just... the full color spectrum of the rainbow of feeling. So I don't really have anything more to say except my amazement at that possibility.
That's lovely. I'm very happy that you're sharing that. And you get a sense of your soul is much bigger. It's got a huge range of feeling, a whole rainbow of feeling. So it's revealing yourself to yourself.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Over here, Patricia.
I am Patricia, and one of the things I got in touch with that I really want is to be able to be in front of a group of people.
Take a breath. Yeah, take your time.
Without fear.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Is there fear here now? Yeah. Okay, so take a breath into the fear. Good. We're going to welcome your fear. Mm. That's what's coming right now. Yeah. Good. You're breathing into it. Does the fear tell you anything about itself?
It's old, and it has a voice of, who does she think she is?
Okay. So we have a kind of...
Superego.
Superego critic judge in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it's my deepest, one of my deepest desires is to overcome that.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think it would be like if you were to turn around and look at these people? Yeah. They're really scary, aren't they?
Really, yeah. God, there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them. Yeah.
Oh, God, you're not so bad. You know, and I want to be a stand-up comedian, which is even worse.
Oh, my goodness.
So it gets really big.
Yeah.
One of the things I realized as I was, you know, exploring, it got so big that it was like, I can't contain it. It was like the structures all fall away,
and
it's like, really, who do you think you are?
Yes.
So, so thank you. It feels good. I feel a little bit calmer inside. And look out for me on channel, whatever it is.
See, you are funny. You are. You know what? When that part comes and says, who do you think you are, and everything's falling away, you know, I guess that's the time to laugh. Maybe you'd say, I don't know, I haven't got a clue. You know?
Yeah.
That's just the truth. You don't have a clue sometimes when you're just there. Mm-hmm. But look for me on channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully this lifetime.
Yes. I want it in this lifetime.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. That's the boldness. Remember I was saying it takes boldness to let yourself really want. The lady in the stripes down there.
I'm Brooke, and I have a question about the wish impulse.
Yeah.
One of the things that came up pretty strongly for me around the looping question was that a lot of the things I legitimately want are material things.
Yes.
And I had a question for myself, is that legitimate? I mean, there's sort of this stuff that comes up, and it brought me back to, I'm not sure I necessarily wish I could have them. And so I am wondering about that, because want is so, I mean, I came up with more profound things too, but there was some things that were just not that big of a deal that are, you know, but they're on what I call my wish list. And so I'm curious about the word and the impulse, and wondered if you could speak to its relevance in, you know, the things we want.
Yes. Well, it's a very good question. It's a very good point. As children, we typically get excited about things, you know? And often there's a lot of energy around, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it now. You know how children jump up and down like that? They get a lot of energy with it. And typically it's things. So our earliest expression and interaction with the world is wanting things. So that's real in us. Then as we grow, we want other things, like maybe we want a friend, or we want to be liked, or something more emotional, maybe something more relational, that isn't a thing exactly, but nonetheless we want it. But that's an indication that we're getting a little more mature. We still want things, but we add this other dimension. And then as we mature, we keep adding things that we want, but we don't necessarily stop wanting things. And then at some point, for some of us, we want to know who we are. And the deeper wishes in our hearts start to be made known. So it's really all there. The heart can want on every level. And then the intelligence, and for example, the red can come up with its discrimination. And what do I want that I really feel I will put energy into? Or what really expresses myself? So more discrimination has to come in, and the whole thing about attachment is real. The, you know, part of what makes it difficult to leave the world is we get attached to a body, and we get attached to our familiars. And then death doesn't seem so much like a doorway, it seems like a loss. When, for some people, if you're not very attached, it's simply a doorway onto the next realm or whatever. So it's all there, and all the Latifas, each of the Latifas, bring us a quality of being that helps us deal with all of that. For a child, it's simple. But for an adult human being who is fully connected, there's discrimination, there's a sense of compassion, there's timing, there's a sense of what's in my best developmental interest now. All of that gets to be part of what you take into your inner inquiry and see what feels right for you.
Yeah, that's really helpful. I mean, one of the things that came out was one of the things I really want that's at the top of my list is a shed. And it's totally about getting rid of clutter. You know, it's moving stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is discriminating, mm-hmm. but still it felt so like a physical desire that's expensive and whatever, you know, and I want the best shed, like a really nice one. So, but it's, you know, it's one of these things that in this process, and I think it's partly the spiritual work too, that some of this, you know, like a new computer or whatever feels very
materialistic.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the inquiry, after you see that you want the shed and that's about getting rid of, if you inquire into the getting rid of, there might be other ways to get rid of. I mean, you can open up. Yeah. The joy and the curiosity opens the inquiry up to other things. And the truth is, you are a physicality. You are a body. And we each are. And there are material things. And we do have to learn to relate to them. And we prioritize those. And that's just part of this thing called life, from what I can see. And the judge will say, oh, materialistic, and make that wrong. So then you look at that. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's not an easy road. Okay, Dean over there. Maybe we'll take, well, I'm going to stop about quarter after.
I'm Dean. I want to know I'm okay, and I want you all to see me as okay. That's very important for me because I don't feel okay.
Uh-huh.
And that came up in the inquiry, and it's ancient for me.
What about you is not okay?
I'm not safe, I'm not whole, and I'm not enough.
Okay, not safe, not whole, and not enough.
Right.
And you want us to tell you you are safe, you are whole, and you are enough?
Well, you know, that's a nice consolation.
Right. Yeah, but what really happens as you imagine, okay, so we tell you that, and then what?
Well, it's the same way I live my life, where I feel good about myself when I contribute to life. And then when I stop contributing, or if I do something that breaks the rules, my own rules, then I'm not okay anymore.
Yeah.
So it's tiring because it's okay, not okay. It's not consistent. I can't just be okay. I have to do something to be okay.
Right. Yeah. So it sounds like yourself is really a superego. It's always watching you to see if you're okay, and there's not much relaxed time in there. So what happens in your heart as you know, I'm okay, I'm not okay, and I'm breaking the rules, no, I'm not. What's happening with your heart?
It's tired. Yeah. You know, in my inquiry, a lot of sadness came up, and I was crying, and I have a physical pain in my heart.
Yes.
That I've had for about 5 years. Uh-huh. And I checked it out because I thought there was something physically wrong. And there is a small thing, but it's not this. This is, you know, it's the contraction around,
yes,
you know, when you were talking about exactly this area for me, you know,
yes,
that you talked about opening up your left side. And I'm like, I just can't imagine having an open left side, because that's where I have this fairly frequent pain that's there quite a lot during the day, like an actual physical pain.
Mm-hmm. And how do you relate to it? Do you like it?
No, I feel, usually I feel afraid of it. Sometimes I feel a little sorry for it.
Yeah.
But there's usually a fear around it.
Yes.
You know, I don't want it. I want the pain to go away.
Yes.
That's what I want, another thing that I want.
Yes. I want the pain to go away. So there you can feel your heart wants that to go away. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's fear here. I can really get the fear. You're afraid the pain, afraid of what the pain really is, and afraid how much it hurts, and it's there. And then you have this part of you that's telling you you're okay, you're not okay.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of living.
Yes, living in pain.
Yeah, and just getting through life. Like, I can't wait to exhale. I volunteer at a hospice, actually, and I look at them sometimes and I'm like, that'd be nice to just be there with nothing else to do, not having to take care of yourself. You know, these people with cancer, and they can be in a lot of physical pain, but I kind of envy that position. I'm like, wow, they're going to die. They've done everything they had to do, and they can exhale.
Yes, and just go.
And I just can't wait to exhale.
Yes. Oh, so take a breath right now if you let yourself breathe and exhale. You're tired. I really get it. You're afraid and you're tired. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and I'm so used to it. It's just like that's the way it is.
It's just the way it is. It's life.
Yeah, and people don't see it. People, they always say, are you a 6? I thought you were a 7. And, you know, I present myself adequately to get through life, and quite successfully, it would appear. But it's just tiring.
And there's kind of a deadness. You're working hard to get through life.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Hmm.
So it feels good to say it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel very touched that you're saying it, that it's not something you haven't known. This is material you have known, but there is something about trusting us enough to say, you know, I'm really not okay to myself. And I hurt. I have this pain, and it's in my heart, and I'm scared, and I know I'm not living my life fully. And saying that, telling the truth about that, is very touching to me.
I just wait to be punished by my superego as an internalized God version from my born-again Christian parents.
Yes.
And so I just wait for punishment all the time.
Yeah. So it sounds like to look into your heart, to really ask, what do I want now? You hit pain, you hit the pain, you hit the fear, you hit the memories of these parents.
All I want is to be free of... I don't want positive things. I just want the absence of the negative things.
Right.
But fortunately, part of me wants to be free more than I want to be comfortably numb.
Yes. That's really important.
It's just more powerful than the wanting to be numb.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the freedom that I was talking about. When you really desire as fully, it doesn't matter what it is you want, but if you can let yourself want it fully, there comes a freedom. And that part of you, nobody can kill. That's innate in your being. And so that part I want to speak to today, to welcome him here. They never succeeded in smacking you down fully. And now you're struggling, doing the inquiries, practicing the practices, being present as you can, and doing the work to kind of eat up that stuff so the light, the illumination in the joy can shine through. And I think that's what makes you stand up and speak out.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. So it's 1:15, and I think it'd be nice for you to have a little lunch. So maybe we'll stop here. And we have a couple of announcements. Actually, we have three announcements. One is, if there are people here who have not paid, we really need to get that piece handled. So would you give your check before lunch to Roseanne? She's standing right over here. And the checks, please, before lunch. The second one is, I can't remember, so the third one is Dean. Would you make your announcement? He needs that.
Lily does the MP3s, and if you know Lily, she's the youngest person probably here, or second youngest. She's away on a two-month retreat, but an email went out from Janine Jordan about a week or so ago, and it outlines all the procedure. But I'll just summarize it briefly here, and if there's any questions, then probably Roseanne or I can jointly handle them. There's three things that can happen. One is if you miss the weekend entirely, then you have to send your check in to Janine, and she will then alert Lily, and Lily will send you the file. So that's pretty standard. The second situation is if you miss part of a weekend and you've paid, then you just contact Lily and you don't have to pay, and she will just send you the file. And the third situation is if you were here for the whole weekend and you just want to review something. So you paid and you want to review, in which case there's a $10 review fee for that, to review weekends where you were present. And there is an email address to contact for that, and it's dh7mp3@gmail.com. So, and then the last part is that the $10 fee doesn't go to Janine like all the other fees do, your fees for the weekends. The $10 fee comes to Lily, and she will collect it from you at the weekend. And I'll be doing it for this weekend and for the retreats, because she is away and for the next couple of times. So if you think you might want to review something, you could give me a check now, or you can just contact and I'll get it off you at the next weekend. I'll keep a list of people.
How much is the check for?
$10.
Okay. And made out to?
I can't remember. Can you?
Maybe just leave it blank and we'll fill it in.
Would it be D hat? D-H-A-T? I don't know if we've actually clarified where the checks... We're only just working out the system, so I don't think we've clarified that.
Okay.
But maybe you can just leave them blank.
Yeah, them blank and we'll clarify that.
By next weekend, we'll have it figured out and I'll be able to tell you if you give me the checks then.
Okay.
Are there any questions?
Do you have a question for him? No. You have a question for him? Not sure. Okay, never mind, I'll take questions.
My question for you is, if we've done a retreat, or we missed a retreat but we've paid for it, then do we come to you for it since Lily's gone?
Yes.
So for a retreat as well as for a review. It wouldn't be a review. I missed a retreat but I paid for it.
Then you can contact me. You can contact the dh7mp3@gmail.com. That's a sort of an address that Lily and I can jump onto when we job share. But if you make the payment to Janine first, Janine lets us know that you've paid. To dh7mp3@gmail.com.
Now, DH7 is... Okay, and then there was a question over here.
I've got a
I'm sorry. Yeah. I have a car that needs a jump, and I have cables, so I need an engine.
Oh, that's the one I forgot. Right. Okay. This woman needs a help. Okay, so Stephen's going to help you out. Liz, thank you. Okay, so we will be back at... I just cannot tell time today. I look at this watch, and it's like I can't relate. 3 o'clock? Is it? Thank you. We'll be back at 5 of 3. Thank you, Rosa.